He's taking a piss, I can hear it.
Yeah, I know.
That's fucked up.
That's great, actually. So I've got a wireless headset, and I play a lot of games with friends, and, yeah, they hear it all the time. Poor lad.
He's taking a piss. I'm going to cut this in and put it at the start of the show, just so people know how terrible their host is. Fucking shut the door, Johnny, you fucking animal. I don't think he washed his hands. There's zero chance he's washed.
Okay.
He's licked his hands.
Yep.
Oh, my God. My God. This has gone downhill quickly. All right, let me log out of that.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and welcome to the Round 17 waiver wire pickups, injury news, and their buy, sell, and hold deals. We are without the Statesman for a couple of weeks because he's decided to go off-brand and play this fancy thing called salary cap and try and win a brand new Toyota Hilux or some sort of cash prize. So we've suspended him for a few weeks. So it is the third McLaughlin brother in Cameron with us for a few weeks. So welcome to you, and welcome to you, Stevie Fizz. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, but John, I'm just completely thrown by the Statesman's. He's risen to number one at some point during the week in the AFL Fantasy brand. Our brand's in tatters. Just like it's all over the bathroom floor, like it's missed the basin, like no doubt your urine just did. It's all over your hands. It's bad times, although the hands will be sterile apparently.
Yes, they will. And look, after last week in my monotone voice, we tried to get Morgan Freeman on the show, but he has put us on the black ban list and do not call ever again, trying to give us his sultry tones to host this podcast.
He doesn't even have Twitter. I actually looked it up because I had Lois from Family Guy and she has Twitter, but Morgan Freeman doesn't have Twitter. Some other arsehole who has Twitter who's called Morgan Freeman who directs films, but no one cares.
No, we wanted the sultry tones of Morgan Freeman, but, well, you win some, you lose some, so you have to put up with me until we can get Morgan Freeman. But welcome to you, Cam. How you doing?
Yeah, doing well, guys. I, over the last 3 hours today, it took me to add a Twitter banner. Speaking of Twitter, it took me a long time. Every time that I tried to add it up there, it just kept on zooming further and further in. But now I think it makes more sense to have a photo with me alongside both McLaughlins, to make sure that we're all, you know, everyone knows that we're all part of the same AFL brand.
Is there any reason why he wasn't hosting Channel 7's game day today, or was it just a bit of brotherly mud wrestling in the backyard this week?
A lot of mud wrestling, actually, and they're planning more for Christmas from what I've heard, so I'll get my licks on them then.
Excellent news. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman33, at The Potato Bake, and STPorter15 as well. You can follow us on Facebook as well. Just search The Draft Doctors there. And check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au, where we've got articles dropping Monday to Friday. But we're going to kick it off with the things we noticed throughout the weekend. And even though I do talk about the Bulldogs and Hawthorn and a few other teams, I had a massive migraine on Saturday, so I did not see much football of those teams. So I will wing it a little bit and use my gut feel. But Steve, what have you got?
I want to start it off with Jack Higgins from the Tigers. Most concerning is his appearance on Roaming BT, where he came across as someone who was more likely to be on Straight Talk than any sort of... You just get a microphone away from him. But more midfield... But
having said that, David Asprey did rip the microphone off him. I don't know if you saw that, but the hand out of nowhere.
Yeah, I think he was going to bat for his teammate there, man. It was... I don't know. I don't know, not good. I mean, he could probably host his podcast better than you, but...
hey, he'd be dropping F-bombs left, right, and centre, I reckon.
Well, it's anyway, but Jack Higgins, to me, is interesting. More midfield time. Got the 25 disposals in only 66% time on ground. We know he's a massive fantasy scorer from his junior days. And just with injuries to guys like Jack Graham and I think Broad got a bit of a nick as well. So that if they miss, maybe he gets a little bit more play. Anthony Miles is dealing with some concussion. He didn't play in the twos this week. So I've picked him up in our keeper league. I certainly think he's someone who should be owned in keeper leagues going forward. But I'd probably start to pay attention to him in deeper redraft leagues. Probably the same way I'd pay attention to Paul Ahern. Just the game time's going to be down for these guys, but they're certainly fantasy scorers. The other thing I happened to witness was Brisbane beating the hell out of Carlton. That was just fantastic. I really enjoyed it. I like seeing a team get kicked when they're down. I think, you know, it's just... Look at their trading moves. They've traded good picks for just packets of rejects. It's like the sort of swindles I try to pull off in our draft leagues, and I've sort of become less successful over time. I think Steve Silvani's been taken advantage of. But anyway, onto the matchup side of things. If teams are playing Carlton, they've given up at least 99 marks in their last four games. How's this? They gave up 147 marks to Brisbane. Now, I know Brisbane are playing that sort of game, but to me, if I'm playing like, you know, Stevie Motlop's that sort of outside player who can find space, they should be taking 7 or 8 marks. Like, it's a good time to get on them. And, man, it's a big worry when your best player is 34 years old. Unless, Patrick Cripps is a superstar. But, man, they really missed Cade Simpson. On to North Melbourne, like I spoke about, Paul Ahern, my goodness, contested possessions. He finds space. He kicks goals. Still relevant despite the really low time on ground, but I really think next year, look out, this guy's a superstar in the making. Picked him up in the keeper league, I think it was a couple months ago. He's just been fantastic. Johnny, you were on the couch. Did you see any of that? Or
Didn't see much of that game today. I only caught the last quarter of it. I was out, but Paul Ahern is going to be a star. We've known that for a long time. Just hadn't had a good run at it.
Yeah, absolutely. Just if we recall at the start of the year, Mike Sheehan dropped the truth bomb as he labelled Pendles not an A grader. Well, Pendles must be an A-plus grader.
That's what I was thinking when I saw that tweet today. I don't know if you saw it, but there was a tweet out there. I'm thinking I'm missing the plus there for Pendles. He had a fantastic game today.
I haven't seen that tweet, but I'm sure it'll pop up eventually. But, man, he was absolutely awesome through Collingwood on his back. Another A grader. We spoke about him last week. Donuts Motlop. Century City. Raises the bat. He's playing Fremantle this week. No, it's terrible. But what's going on? Donuts Motlop. What a legend. We love you. And Jono, I don't want to steal your thunder, but I want to talk about a couple of guys from your teams. But the new Taggers.
Yes.
Bit scary. What were seemingly good matchups for the finals, say, a month ago? Let's say Ollie Wines dropped a 150 bomb on Western Bulldogs. Well, now in round 19, he's got to play the Bulldogs again. Josh Dunkley tagging the hell out of people. Shut Titch, well, Titch to an extent. I mean, it's you can only shut him down so much. And Jack Steele, the last 2 weeks. I don't know if you were if I'm stealing your thunder a little bit there, but
no, I did have Jack Steele. That's fine, but hey, it helps his scoring potential there with Jack Steele. And look, watch out for Cripps and Murphy next week because he'll be going to one of them too.
Well, I think Steele's been going to the inside player. You know, that's sort of his bailiwick. But it's actually helped both of their own scoring, funnily enough.
That's right.
Which is we know Josh Dunkley's been a pretty good fantasy scorer in the past anyway. We've liked him since the first preseason match we laid eyes on him, I think.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So that was what I noticed this week.
Just going on with that tagging role there with Dunkley, he did have a tag the previous week on Geelong, but it was a very loose tag. But this week it was wearing Tom Mitchell like a glove. So just
And even 2 weeks ago, he was on Higgins, but then it sort of got pulled and Higgins just blew up in the second half.
Yeah, it was weird that one. They kind of just stopped tagging him and, Higgins got in the game and North won the game. So it's very interesting of what Luke Beveridge is doing. But you got to think, does it affect Bontempelli's midfield time? Because he was non-existent there on Saturday night. Just I don't know what the hell was happening. Like, he was not in that game at all.
I hate Bont. Bont's such a he's such an in and out player, isn't he?
Certainly is. Like, especially on the weekend, like, he was trying to get in the contest, but very lackadaisical, just waiting for the ball to come in, just not applying the pressure when he could. There was actually a couple of instances on Saturday night when he could have laid the tackle, but just waiting for the Gary Ablett, I'm just standing here, pass the ball to me type.
I was going to say, did he go full Gary Ablett?
Pretty much, he went full Gary Ablett, so not good to watch. But
you never want to go full Gary Ablett.
You do not. The Crows, I don't know what... Well, they were still affected by Richmond and the grand final last year. They absolutely crapped their dacks as soon as they were on the MCG on Saturday night. They were fumbly. They were just mentally scarred. They... Had an impressive win against West Coast a week before, but they were fumbly, just couldn't get their game going, and Richmond were all over them and made them pay, so had a good win there. As you said, Jack Steele take as the tagging role is good for him. Jason Johannesson, he is back to his running best. At halftime, he had already 500 metres gained, tunned up in both fantasy formats this week and was close to him last week. So he's getting that drive off halfback again, and maybe a tag could be coming his way if he is up and going again, like we saw back in 2017 after the grand final. Another thing I've noticed, that 10-metre protected zone, that is the biggest load of crap. And we saw a couple of instances over the weekend. The main one was Dan Hand. He was trying to run away from that, and the umpires pinged him. Now, unless he's got some sort of teleportation powers, then there's no way you can get out of that zone that quickly. And I think it was Lockie Hunter was the same thing. He was trying to run away from the contest and got pinged as well. Steve, you and I played lawn bowls, and I don't know if you ever read the rule book, but I wasn't an umpire at a time.
That's right, people. Hey, look. This is a married man, and he had to beat him off with a stick when he walked into the pub and came out with a line, "I'm a lawn bowls umpire. Look out, ladies."
Got that ring. Got the brass ring, mate.
And your brother plays a big chess fan, so I don't know what's going on.
He was a softballer as well.
My God.
But the first rule of lawn bowls is it is a law of common sense. So that is what the AFL umpiring should be taking into that. Common sense needs to come into it and get your heads out of your ass. And blowout games. We've seen a fair few this weekend with Melbourne and Brisbane Lions beating teams. That means blowout fantasy scores. So we saw a lot of Melbourne players get tons. We saw the Brisbane Lions get tons. Coming into the last 7 weeks of the season, you can really get on board some of these players, especially if they are playing those mismatches. I haven't really looked at the fixture, but just one to watch out, because we've seen some teams go absolutely full ham and 10 to 12 players are getting their tons. So that's what I've noticed this week. What have you got there, Cam?
I wanted to add on a little bit more to what Fizz was talking about kicking teams while they're down, and just talk a little bit about the Lions and I guess their new strategy over the last maybe 4 to 5 weeks. And it's all about kicking. So they've dramatically increased their kicking over the last couple of weeks, culminating in this week having a league high 252 kicks, which is pretty impressive. And that's their average to date has been 215. You can sort of see a very slow markup over the last couple of weeks, which has seen them hit that high. I mean, they were playing, I guess, the Witches Hats this week, but they managed to get at 80% efficiency, and as Fizz was saying, that led to 147 marks. All I'm saying is, from a fantasy perspective, that's plus sixes all day. So that's kicks, marks,
yeah,
brilliant.
Well, and what's interesting is, like, I'll say I've got in our keeper league, I've got Withered and Hodge, and who's the other one back there? Rich. I've got them all. And they're all on-field viable every week because of it. This switch in play, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I think they come up against the Hawks maybe next week. And that's going to be pretty...
Tassie.
That's the same game plan for both teams. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see how it plays out, I think. So that was the first one. The second one is I'm going to eat my own hat if I don't have one around me at the moment. But last week I said Dan Han might be firing up. And this week... he pumped out an 18 by quarter time, and I thought, oh yeah, okay, he's warming up, come on, mate. But he sustained a calf injury in that first quarter and spent most of the rest of the game up forward, and now he's going to miss 3 weeks. So I'll eat my hat, and, you know, if you've been holding on and just holding on hope that he's going to come back, I think it's time to, you know, be a bit like Kate Winslet in the Titanic and just let him go. He's gone.
Hit the pool. Time to hit the pool. Thank God.
So number three, it's almost a joint three and four, but I'll go with three because I do have two others. But Freo on the Gold Coast, I think they're going to be lucky to have anyone go to any of their games by the end of the year. They are just going to flop for the rest of the year. You look at their outputs this weekend, and they were down on their season averages in every single statistical category. Just absolutely rubbish. With Freo, you can kind of look at, you know, they lost Fife, they lost Blakely, they lost a couple of others, but on Sandy, I guess, is the other big
Sandy,
one.
Yeah.
But overall, they scored the third and fourth least amount of fantasy points, and that's what I really care about. They've given up. And to be honest, I'm glad that it's the Statesman's job normally to report on those two, because watching them for 6 hours every week is just... That's a waste of time. That's rubbish.
Click boom.
Yeah. The Bombers. So number four, the Bombers are going to have a massive 2 weeks. And this leads on from the previous comment, because they're facing Freo on the Gold Coast in the next 2 weeks. So they are going to have big scores. You look at the output from Freo on Gold Coast and look at the scores against, and there were like 5 or 6 tons against both of them this week. So expect really big scores from the likes of Devin Smith, Dyson Heppel, and maybe even Jakey Stringer kicks a bag. So keep your eyes peeled.
You mean some Kyle Langford? I'm a big Kyle Langford fan.
Big Kyle Langford fan, eh? I don't know why, but that felt like a 30s voice tone.
It's an old-timey's voice there. Maybe, Jono, you could bring that into your repertoire. Just break up the monotony.
Yeah, why not? Maybe I'll do it in my waiver wire. Put an accent on for...
So, final point. A waiver wire could win your league. So, I just need to click around here for a second. But I'll tell you what. Jack Redden. He would have been on most people's waiver by round 6 or 7 this year, because he was putrid, absolutely putrid, and all of a sudden he's put together 90s for the last couple of weeks, and he blows the roof off today with a massive 130 odd. He is a potential game changer, so if you're lucky enough to get him, you know, good luck to you. He could win your final. Jono?
Yeah, just on that, I actually drafted Jack Redden, and after 6 weeks pulled him, and then when Shuey and Sheed went out injured, it was Jack Redden time, and went full ham for a couple of weeks there, and been in the team ever since, bang on the money on that one. So I'm happy to be a Jack Redden owner.
Just to confirm, so it was 143 today, sorry about that.
Quality, and we don't see Dom Sheed coming in anytime soon, you would think.
Oh, no you don't.
All right. Oh, yes. Gotta love the old smoker's lungs. Moving on now to Steve.
Should cough on your hands. You might blow some of the piss off them, Jono.
I just licked my fingers there, listeners, just to get that cough off my fingers. We are moving on now to our waiver wire pickups. And when we talk about our waiver wire pickups, we use Ultimate Footy's 75% ownership rule. And I'm going to kick it off. My first one is Shane Edwards from the Tigers in 39% of leagues. The last couple of weeks, he's had a bit of a role change where he's been used as that link-up player from halfback to full forward. He's been scoring quite well. He has been attending centre bounces and kicking goals. I do like what he's doing, so he's my number one pickup for this week. Number two, Marcus Adams from the Bulldogs is still on available on the waiver wires at 67%. They're playing the Demons this week, so that ball is going to be coming in thick and fast in the Bulldogs' defence. We saw him have 11 marks this week against the Hawks.
Yeah, just on Edwards, he's got to be a super coach pickup more than a dream team.
Oh, definitely. Surely. Yeah, definitely. Marcus Adams there against the D's. Steve mentioned him earlier. Donuts Motlop playing the Freo Dockers over there in Freo. A big ground to run and spread. He will be getting that outside ball left, right and centre in 67% of teams. We should see him ton up yet again. And now we
whoa.
I'm calling it. I'm the early crow. So if you do like a gamble as well, get on him for the overs this week because he'll probably be around the 80-point mark. We saw big boy McAvoy go down with that fractured cheekbone, looking like pretty much his fantasy season is done with 6 weeks. But Dawson Simpson is floating around on the free agency pools at 54% ownership. We saw a big Rory Lobb playing deep forward, so he will be the main man in that GWS lineup. And my last one is Dan Howe. He's actually been going pretty good the last couple of the last month in 74% of teams. Just like the taggers of Jack Steele and Josh Dunkley, he has been doing the tagging role, so he's getting those midfield minutes and did score pretty well against the Doggies on the weekend when he was tagging the Bont. So could go to Zorko or Beams this week down in Tassie, and they're my five. What have you got, Steve?
Yeah, I've got to be honest. I think Segler and Darcy are better options than Dawson. Like, they're both really low owned. They play Brisbane and Port respectively. I don't know. Dawson seems very limited to me. Like, if he doesn't win the hitouts, that's all he's going to do. With the others, maybe there's a bit more around. Like, Darcy's score looks bad, but he's playing against the hardest ruck to play against. So, I don't know. Yeah, I'm with you on Donuts, obviously. Marcus Adams, I really like. I'll throw on a couple more. I think Jade Gresham, 55% owned against Carlton, is really interesting. I think Jack Trenko, 66% owned against Freo. He played pretty well again and scored pretty well again this weekend. I mentioned Jack Higgins in my things I noticed, 34%. He's really low owned. I would keep an eye on Caleb Marchbank. He came back and he was playing a sort of wing role, but Wietering got something wrong with him. I don't know. He might go back into defense. I don't know, but we've seen Marchbank score pretty well before, so I just at the very least keep an eye on him. But probably my best waiver for the week is Nick Newman, 43%. A lot of injuries at Sydney. And the thing is, when we saw Nick Newman come into the team before, he was playing a half-forward role, scoring terribly. Now there's a spot opened up on the half-back line with Jared McVay gone down. I think Nick Newman could be a real savvy pickup. We certainly know he's a fantasy asset. Maybe he doesn't get picked. I don't know. But they sustained, I think it was Hannes, McVay, and there was one other as well.
Kieran Jack.
Yeah, so there's certainly a spot there for Nick Newman.
Just on that game with Carlton and St Kilda this week, if nobody watches this game, does it actually happen?
Oh, I'll be watching it. I look forward to it.
Oh, really? Hey, are you just sadist or something?
Well, what was that movie with Nick Cage, the 8mm? Hey,
Yeah. Yeah, I know St Kilda's my team, but gee, even I'm not looking forward to Saturday night, Friday night.
St Kilda, well, I don't know, man. Carlton have got to dish something up.
Well, they can't be which any.
You know, it was really bad. Is like watching that game, like, because they had Casbolt got dropped, and like every entry went to Charlie Curno, and he was like, there was like 3-on-1 every time on poor Charlie Curno. Like, he had a terrible score, but I'm like, there's three blokes hanging off him every time the ball goes in, and it's always aimed at the top of his head.
Yeah, there's a bloke called Harry McKay playing the twos who could do something as well.
So,
oh, it's just, yeah.
So you're Brendan Bolts or you're Richo, and you're going into this week. What is your last rev up potentially for your career?
How's my superannuation package, boys? Mic drop, I'm out of here.
Yeah. I don't know. If I was richer, I'd be probably feeling pretty good about things.
I mean, the Saints weren't too bad against Port Adelaide. I mean,
the Saints have been better.
They have been better, but Carlton are just putrid. I'm not looking forward to that game. Not looking forward to it.
I don't know. Carlton, I don't know. I feel sorry for their supporters, to be honest, man. Like,
well, they've had it coming. Long time coming. They got, what, 16 premierships? They haven't been bad for this long ever, so it's good to see them suffer a bit.
Yeah, but none in the no paper bag under the table era.
That's true.
Is that an era?
That is. It's gone from, what, 2000 to now? So
sure was, see? It's just going to come out every now and then. Sorry, guys.
That's right. Could be a new character. Who knows? Who are your waiver wire pickups for this week?
I just had the one to add. It was Trent Dumont just sliding in there at 74%. He's burnt me about 100 times over the last 2 years. But his last three average of 94.7 is pretty tasty. They don't have a great run into finals, but I feel like he might be turning up another gear. Probably good for a bench pickup. And that's all. Oh, actually, just a couple of comments, sorry, on Fizz. It sort of leads into the injuries, if that's all right. But Dan Howe, as a watch, I reckon he misses a week this week. So he missed the last quarter pretty much of the game with an ankle. He injured his knee in the second term. They let him run out the third, and he rested the fourth. They play the Lions this week. I reckon they might give him a week off in the lead-up to the finals. And secondly, Marchbank, his heart might explode at any point. So he was in hospital shortly after the game. His heart rate basically couldn't come down.
Oh, was that? Yeah. Sorry, I did remember that.
So I reckon that's probably his season. Like, it's just not worth risking, so they'll probably keep him out.
That's why I didn't write it down. Didn't write it down in the game, but I wrote it down now. I'm like... Anyway, whatever.
It happens. We all make mistakes. You're only human. We forgive you.
Well, I wouldn't waiver for him.
No, it could be a late week pickup. I could just drop the old Matt Kennedy in there and bang.
Oh, fucking Matt Kennedy. Jesus, it'd be great if he could play like more than 14 minutes a game.
Had a good first quarter. Very good first quarter. Now, if you listen to the show, you would know that we are on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. All you got to do is hit that subscribe button, and the show comes to your device each and every Monday morning. But we have another review this week. It's not good for me. I have been taking a bit of a battering these last couple of weeks. Thank God I've got a thick skin. This is from Jar1986-2108. I don't know if that's your birthday and your PIN code, but he says 3 stars for each time I've made the draft finals while listening to this pod. Also, 1 star for Steve and 1 star for the Statesman, but none for Jono. Sorry, bro. Well, I'm sure you can give me something.
This is one of the most on-brand comments. We should give this man a t-shirt.
Well, get in contact with this Jar1986-2108, and we will give you a t-shirt.
No, we won't. We won't. That's really cutting into our margins. T-shirt
with me just giving him the bird or something like that, or
Jono. Just so you know, mate, you're my star.
Yes. Someone likes me out there. Thank God, I've got thick skin. Thank God.
Well, you do look like a reptile. That makes sense.
Yes. Smash the shit out of everything here. And
this show's descending into madness. Let's go. Keep going.
What have we got next? Your late week. What have you got? Your
trades.
Deals for the week, Steve. What have you got?
Trade in Jeremy McGovern. He's my big buy for the finals. He's been playing forward. The scores have been crap. Pull the wool over the Jeremy McGovern's eyes. Throw him something like Donuts Motlop. You'll certainly be loving it. If you need a defender heading into your finals, I'll be throwing out a play for him in our home league this week. I can guarantee you that. I've got Christian Petracca, who just dropped a 140 bomb. Boy, someone will be looking at that 140 going, that looks pretty handy. Why would I want Jeremy McGovern's 60s? And I just wanted to say, I don't have a trade out this week, but I wanted to say, because I know a lot of people are gearing up for their finals, and I know some people are already in their finals, but some people are gearing up for their finals and they're looking to... take their depth and do a 2-for-1 and strengthen up, and which is fine. But a lot of people are trying to trade for injured guns, like a Nat 5. I don't like it. I'll be honest. I really don't like it. I think it's okay. Like, you can do it. That's fine. It's your team. You can make whatever decision you want. And the value sometimes there, but I really don't like it. I think it's a little bit arrogant to be trading in for an injured player at this team. What if Nat 5's injury turns into 6 weeks and he misses the season? What if you pick up another 2 more injuries? Like, we're watching players drop like flies, be laid outs, and I just think that your health is such a critical factor in your success. I really get nervous when people are trading in guys like Toby Green and Nat 5. So I'd just be really, really careful if you're looking at making those deals. And like, I mean, Jack McRae, yes, he should be back in a couple of weeks, but just really be careful about it, because someone will, like Jono, look at the team who was on top of our ladder in our home league. Best team, like awesome team. And he's had Harris Andrews, Isaac
McAvoy.
Heaney, McAvoy, Nat 5, all these guys are just dropping off like flies every single week. Steve May, like, it just, you make one bad decision and it can snowball. Like,
that's right. And he traded his depth and now he's going to be tested with that. I mean, and that's
and
thing,
he can, like, still win. He can still win. That's, and that's fine. But
yeah, just keep the depth and that's it. Just keep that depth, and because you're going to need it over the finals, because, as you said, those injuries just come out of nowhere. So yeah, touch wood. And
just be real careful what you do.
And it goes all the way back to the start of the year when we were talking about trade draft strategy. Don't get those injury-prone players in. Just go with a safety option. That's the way to do it.
Oh, look, I understand that right now is a great time to be to be maximising your on-field talent. But I just, like, if you're going to do a 2-for-1, do it for a healthy player. Go for Steve Coniglio. Go for, I don't know.
Who's an underperforming or gettable?
Dusty Martin.
Dusty Martin, perfect target. There you go. All right, moving on to our injury list. I'm sure we had a fair few on the weekend. What have you got there, Cam?
There were a lot, but I might try and just restrict it to 5 that I'll go through. So the first one was Big Boy, so I already mentioned once on the show. Big Boy McAvoy copped another head knock and suffered a fractured cheek. It was pretty bad, so he had a big lump on the side of his head. So there was concussion concerns as well. In the wash-up, it's come out he'll probably miss 5 to 6 weeks. So look for Jono Segler to take over that ruck mantle for the meantime. And to be honest, I'd be surprised if he's back for fantasy finals. So I'd probably just put a line through him. Second one, Tom Jonas. He twisted his leg in a tackle and he's done what looks like a CL. I don't know which of the CLs, either ACL or PCL, but it's like...
Knee CL.
A knee CL. Yeah, good one.
Yeah.
and that's a line. So take him out for the rest of the season as well. He's gone. There was chaos this week with Abe Simpson. So see what I did there? Cade Simpson, Abe Simpson. What? It's an old thing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he was a late scratching with calf tightness. And, you know, for a man of his vintage, it's pretty common to get a bit sore getting out of bed. But from what I've heard, he's not going to be out for too long. It's probably he'll play next week. Jared McVeigh did his collarbone. So he's gone for probably 6 weeks, close to fantasy season cooked. And finally, do you guys remember the game Street Fighter 2?
I have it on my classic Super Nintendo, yes.
Remember Zangief?
Yeah. Yes.
So Zangief was working on Jake Carlisle's injured ribs and just completely punctured his lung. So he's now gone for what looks to be 2 to 4 weeks, and he won't be back for a while. And, you know, Logan Austin got the call up this week, and he'll probably hold that spot now anyway.
And Josh Bruce breaking his leg in the same training session. That's so it. All was, going well at St Kilda.
It was just a great training session, you know, run by the Street Fighter guys. So it was Zangief on Jake Carlisle and Ryu on Josh Bruce. So brilliant.
I, I could not believe that when I read the article that they missed the rib and punctured the lung. That's quality medical staff right there. I can't believe it. But 2 weeks, guys, and the fantasy trader boys have got their big shindig in Melbourne. So if you haven't got your tickets for that, please do get on board. It's going to be a great night. The Draft Doctors in Melbourne will be there, so we will be on the, well, I'm going to say the first quite heavily, because I don't know about you, Steve, but I will not be going to work the next day. So come up to us and have a chat, but get your tickets. It's going to be a great night and really looking forward to it. They've got a lot of special guests there. They've got Brody Grundy, number one ruckman in the league at the moment, Big Richo, Matt Richardson, Nick Maxwell, and a couple of other Collingwood players as well who all play in their Collingwood Fantasy Draft League. So it'd be good to have a chat with them and get their thoughts on their season and how they're going. But Steve, we know September is AFL finals time here in Melbourne and Australia, but something a bit more important is coming out in September. That is The Predator, the sequel to the original movie.
Jesus Christ. I was like, where are you going with this?
A bit long bow, but hey, the second Red Band trailer came out and it looks totally awesome. So I cannot wait for that.
I've still got a boner.
Yeah. Oh, like that first trailer teased a little bit, but this second trailer, so much better. So much better.
They could just play like 4 minutes of The Predator, you know, the sound it makes, and that'd be good enough for me. Ah, fuck. Awesome. I actually watched...
you're going to have someone him ripping his someone's spine out and waving it around as well.
Well, I'm a bit... Look, to me, it looks like they've sort of gone Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. You know when Mighty Morphin Power Rangers came out, they just went, this boss is undefeatable, and then there was always just something that could defeat it, and now they've got the Predator, and they go, it's a super Predator.
But and you're like, there is a hierarchy of Predators. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, so I know there's a hierarchy of Predators, Jono.
That's right.
I don't care.
The listeners might not know that, but it's good to see Super Predator come out and just whoop some ass.
Yeah, and then it's pretty exciting.
It is. It is better than this Jurassic Park Fallen Kingdom crap.
Well, you know what really pisses me off about Jurassic Park is we've now rolled through, like, and I love Jurassic Park. I actually watched the first one again on Saturday. Is they've made 5 Jurassic Parks and they still haven't cloned a thylacine. Now, I know people haven't been with the show for a long time, but thylacine lore is one of my go-to subjects. How can you roll out 5 friggin' episodes of Velociraptor City and the idiots at Melbourne University still haven't figured out how to clone a thylacine? What's going on? Strample for you, Melbourne Uni.
Because they're hunting them in the highlands of Victoria, that's why.
Well, that's a good point. Why would you need to clone them when they still exist, clearly?
Exactly right. We just can't find the bastards, that's all.
Well, they're like Predator. They've got the cloaking device.
That is true. I wonder if they do make that clicking noise that the Predators make.
Well, undoubtedly.
That'd be so cool. And just, you see the 3 little laser dots come on you and...
How does that sound go again, Johnny? And people say you don't have range. This is
that's mono. That's a mono laser right there.
I was kind of hoping that Jono would actually do an entire show in Predator clicking. Just an entire show. Pew, just.
That means Dusty's nothing, out. Get him on.
Nothing sexual about that at all. That's fine. Okay, we're in good shape.
Just did Predator noises.
All
right, we're rambling. We got to wrap this.
Baby. Andy Dufresne was a...
Can you imagine Morgan Freeman doing Predator noises? Oh, man.
I'd pay money for that.
And, like, as a victim, you'd be pretty calm. You'd just kind of be like, okay, this is okay.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
You would be. All right, let's wrap this puppy up. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman33, at The Potato Bake, and STPorter15. Search us on Facebook, search for The Draft Doctors there, and check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.